You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The advent of COVID saw events come to a standstill around Auckland and the country, and even when we were back to hosting events, travel restrictions meant a lack of international artists, thus a drive towards showcasing New Zealand music. I talked to Mikey Tucker from Loop about how New Zealand artists are getting a time to shine and how they're filling the vacuum left behind by a lack of international acts. I begin by asking him to just speak on the current climate for Kiwi artists.
Yeah, sure. Well, in my opinion, it's a good climate because if you take the big production companies like College Hill and Tone Deaf and Oceania, etc., on average, around about 90% of their business is international. So that shows you, you know, it's one metric to see how big a portion of the live music scene international artists are. So when you take that out, it creates a bit of a vacuum, and I feel like people still love live music, and it's been a great opportunity for artists to use that silver lining to play more concerts. All the festivals have sold out. Almost every festival I've been involved in terms of booking some of our artists into has sold out. So, yeah, it's a good time to take advantage of that and for Kiwis to explore new talent.
So do you think that there's any kind of loss associated with not being able to have international acts come in to the country?
Yeah, I mean, the huge vacuum is causing quite a painful time for the production companies and production crews and the back end of the industry. There's no doubt there that it's the industry suffering from a, you know, production and logistical standpoint. We're losing a lot of people to film. I think almost every production crew member I knew was working on one film or another in Auckland or Wellington over, you know, after lockdown. And most of them have come back, not all of them. So that's been a downside. But the upside has been, well, especially for us, acts like LAB have been able to, we've been able to take slightly larger risks and play places like the Bowl of Brooklyn or Spark Arena. Their trajectory was already on the up, but we've been able to take advantage of it. And I'd say probably only 15-10% of tickets are from people that just want to go out, and the other 85 would be from true LAB fans.
So have you found that with events in New Zealand right now, Kiwi artists who perhaps haven't had these opportunities before are fairly well equipped to fill this vacuum?
Oh, definitely. Especially at I went to Northern Base Rhythm and Vine and Joe's Farm, and it was really cool to see acts like Montel 2099 and Lee Matthews and some of the new up-and-coming electronic acts just absolutely smash some big sets. You know, sets would always be filled by international acts, and the quality of them and the old-school cats like the Upbeats and Shapeshifter definitely was, you know, it was awesome to watch just these Kiwi acts just fill these spots that were always filled with internationals. And then it's just been awesome to see your classics, you know, like Dave Dobbin at R&B just absolutely smash it. And the kids really get into that. So I think we're more than well equipped to fill that vacuum in terms of festivals. We definitely don't have the depth to fill that vacuum in terms of filling the void that the production companies are feeling in terms of, you know, constant Spark Arena, Horncastle Arena shows that kept the production side of the industry alive. Yeah,
so with festivals and stuff, do you definitely see a push for them becoming more New Zealand focused even after all that?
Yeah, I hope so. I really like the mantra that Rhythm and Alps took in terms of 100% Kiwi lineup, and They had a set on their hands. It was cool for someone like me and my guys and girls who worked for me to just be able to go and check out some new talent as well, because they had fairly good, you know, there was all this great new talent we hadn't heard of, and we were able to watch some cool new acts as well. So, and I think from talking to the odd punter and, you know, doing a bit of a canvas post these festivals, that they've had just as good a time as they would have if it was filled with international acts.
So
anyway, that's my humble opinion.
So it's maybe kind of showing that when it comes to festivals and stuff around the country, the festival experience doesn't have to be determined by having a big international name playing.
I think so. Yeah, it depends on the festival. I mean, I think R&B is a bit of a rite of passage for the younger generation, so they'll go anyway, and it's more about the experience of Rhythm and Vines, and there are other festivals that maybe that still sold out that maybe suffer a little bit more with depth, like Northern Bass focuses on drum and bass and beats and hip hop, etc. And there was, you know, there was enough New Zealand talent to fill that void, but it definitely maybe was lacking a little bit in international quality when it came to constant roster or festival roster of banging drum and bass, if that's what you're into.
And yeah, so when we're looking at events and stuff throughout the year, just because we are one of the few countries that can still have events at the moment, and they do just have to be more New Zealand focused, are you finding that's putting a bit more pressure on New Zealand artists to be producing more content?
I think it's putting pressure on New Zealand artists to set up their live show. I think you just have to produce content all the time anyway, or you become irrelevant really quickly. I think that's one of the keys to LAB's success, is their, and Troy Tingey's success, is an album a year. You know, they're banging out one album every year, those types of albums, and it's really keeping them fresh. So I think that content, regardless of COVID, is a key factor in your career these days. But what I think that the artists need to do is that they need to step up their, and they are, their live performance, their show, whether that's with visuals or rehearsing their us. I think it's really...
Financially speaking, do they have access to the resources to be amping up their shows like that?
Yeah, as old as time, and it's just hard yakka. I mean, in my opinion, 90% of your five sets rehearsing it and rehearsing it and rehearsing it and doing one song over and over for a whole day and then the next song the next day, that's how you get good. And that's how people walk away going, whoa, those musicians, whoa, that's it, you know. The acts that just rehearse for a day before a festival and think that's enough might trip up. But and then in terms of production levels, well, the festivals kept their same level of production, so it's a matter of utilising that. Most of them have VJs and lighting crew for you to use, so that's just a bit of prior planning. If you don't have the budget or you're not getting paid the money to take your own full crew, it's about communicating with that festival and working in with those VJs and lighting crews to say, well, this is what we'd like, can you help us out? And I've never been to a New Zealand festival where the crew haven't been really, you know, generous with their time in terms.
So you're seeing quite a lot of flexibility at the moment in terms of just accommodating what people might want to do, experiment with.
Yeah, I think a little bit more flexibility with Kiwi X. A little bit more. But they have all the festivals and the types of festivals that Luke works with, we've always found them pretty flexible. I mean, they want to put on the best festival possible, and there's always a great crew there to execute it. I guess we've got more time to plot, though, like with... Take LAB, for example, and Shapeshifter, who we seem to have bounced around with this summer a little bit at different festivals. We all got sound checks, and we had time for our lighting crews and visual crews to go in after dark when the stages closed to do plotting. Those were unique experiences that we probably would have got this year, but usually the internationals take precedence, and you might not get a sound check, or you might not get that time at midnight to spend an hour plotting your show for the next day. I think overall the overarching thing is that the vacuum of talent from coming over from overseas has provided an opportunity for some acts across the board in all genres to really step up and take advantage of that if they've wanted to, you know.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.